Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass podcast. To learn more about Galcom and our guests today, visit galcom.org.
There are thousands of kids who are displaced or orphans because of the war in 2014 and now. And to give out the players especially, some kids had never heard about Jesus before.
Hello, friend. Welcome to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. I'm Ron Harris. Before our host, Tim Whitehead, tells us about someone who's living out the Great Commission, I believe you have a special request for us, right, Tim?
Thank you, Ron. Yes, I do have some prayer requests. Is it okay if I do more than one? And I appreciate this chance to ask our friends listening to pre-praying. Galcom is really founded on prayer. Our key verse, Psalm 37:5, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him and he'll bring it to pass. How do we commit things to God? We pray. We hand them over to him and say, God, we can't take care of this. We can't handle it. We don't know what to do. Lord, please help us. So a couple of things. Number one, we really feel like we're kind of under a spiritual attack here at our office at Galcom. We've had a lot of health issues, some family issues, and some other things that just are distracting us and weighing us down. So we just need God to protect us and our team. Number two, we have a station that we want to put into Capoeira, South Sudan, a little village in the middle of nowhere. But the Canadian government has said it's not safe to travel there. In fact, if you go to their website, it's a level 4 travel ban for Canadian citizens. So we can't go. And so we need wisdom on how to handle it. We're looking at hiring a crew inside South Sudan, maybe in Africa. And so we just need to know, how do we handle this situation? Number three, like I said, I hope it's okay that I have more than one prayer request. We're still working on the design of our new Compass radio. Really proud of our R&D team. We have the best FM radio we've ever had. In fact, we had some folks testing it for us out in the field, and we were getting the signal in better than any commercial grade radio that they own. So we're really proud of that. We're having some issues with our shortwave and medium wave, or what we normally call AM design. And so we just need some wisdom and some skill and some breakthrough, some divine intervention, if you will, on getting these things done. We've sent out some of our shortwave radios for some testing. We're going to send out some more to our friends at Far East Broadcasting to get their opinion too, or one of our main partners. So just for wisdom for that. So all sorts of things to pray for, Ron. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. You can be updated on Galcom's daily prayer needs. Just visit our website, galcom.org. And now, Tim, what do you have for us?
Well, Ron, today we're going to be talking to MJ Grant and the CBS for Kids Outreach. Faye Watford, our communications team lead, is going to give us a profile of another unreached people group. But to start everything off, as we normally do, here's Bonnie Sala with this week's Reset Devotional.
Christmas is happening. There's an invitation waiting for you this season, but it's not to a party or a concert. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. Nothing will make it easy for you to accept this invitation. In fact, you'll have to be absolutely determined to do it. Jesus is inviting you to rest. Jesus knew about being busy. Everyone wanted to see him for healing or out of sheer curiosity. In the Bible book of Mark, the apostles had been so busy they hadn't even had time to eat. That's when Jesus issued the invitation to them that he has for you today. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest for a while. Jesus wasn't just telling his followers to take it easy for a while. He was inviting them to take care of their bodies and spend time with him. Erica Pizzo writes, "He knows what will fill them up. He knows that silence and rest can lead to an even greater ministry ahead." If there's one thing you can do to counterculturally celebrate Jesus' birth, it's to accept his invitation to rest. If not daily, protect one time this week to read scripture that he's used in your life, listen to beautiful Christmas music that exalts him, and invite his spirit to refresh you. Pizzo says, "Let's slow down just enough to behold the awesomeness of this season and the gravity it brings. As we turn our gaze to him, let our hearts sing together in praise, holy, 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 and let our souls find true rest." I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To hear this again, read or share this, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
Well, friend, it is our objective here at the Mission Compass to educate you on the possibilities, the opportunities to serve in the Great Commission. And what that often means is, where is there a need? And so our communications team lead, Faye Watford, has been joining us to talk about unreached people groups from the joshuaproject.net. If you haven't downloaded the app, if you're not using it every day here at Galcom, we pray over an unreached people group using joshuaproject.net or the Unreached of the Day app. I encourage you to download and get involved praying for people. So Faye, tell us about somebody out there who's not heard about Jesus, who desperately needs to know that God loves them.
Tim, I thought that today we would talk about some of the people who are being affected particularly by the war in Ukraine.
Okay.
So I wanted to cover two indigenous groups, the 800 Arik and the 1200 Orochi. So there's only 2,000 in both of these people groups.
Tiny, tiny groups.
Tiny groups. And traditionally, these people, they made their living by herding reindeer and fishing in their homeland, which is in some of the coldest regions of Siberian Russia. Then many later moved on to other parts of Russia, and a large portion of them now live in Ukraine. And they are dying people groups in both of the countries where they live.
I was about to explain to you that Siberia wasn't in the Ukraine. So I'm glad you clarified that, that no, they've emigrated, they've moved in there. So wow, I don't think we've prayed for a smaller people group before, you know, 800 and 1200. So what is it that's threatening their existence as a identified language, culture, people group?
Right. So one of the reasons that they're getting smaller and smaller is that intermarriage has caused their numbers to dwindle as they sort of meld into other people groups. Many of their customs were also lost during the Soviet era. Mm-hmm. The government forced them away from their nomadic way of life where they were reindeer herders, and they had to move to new villages in the coast and become fishermen. This was by Soviet decree. And after several generations as fishermen, few of them remember how to herd reindeer like their ancestors did. And the other problem is that their language is dying out because it's not a written language.
Wow.
In fact, according to the 2021 census, only 43 native speakers of Arik remained. So that language is spoken by both people groups.
Okay.
The remaining Orochi and Arik people, they have no choice now, but they have to adjust to the new culture that's sort of been imposed on them. And they must also adjust to the war between Russia and Ukraine that is affecting everyone in their country.
Yeah, wow. One of the identifying things when we talk about people groups, this idea that it's not nations that we're looking at, you know, about 200 countries in the world, but there's all these language groups, culture groups, and language is often a thing that really dictates your belief system, the way you communicate your thoughts, everything, the words. So not a written language, just an oral language. So then what is their belief system? They're losing their language? Are they losing their belief system as well, their traditional religions?
So traditionally they practice shamanism and Buddhism, the ones that were
closer to
those borders. And some of these people that live in Russia may have adopted the Russian Orthodox faith. However, they are clearly still an unreached people group, both of them.
So we have this kind of Soviet era, you know, taking away their language, which takes away some of the culture, moving them physically from where they are and what their traditional occupations were. And now compound that with the war in the Ukraine, which you mentioned earlier. So how is the war affecting them? It can't be easy. I mean, if they're both in Russia and in the Ukraine, this is a no-win situation for them.
Exactly. Tim, that's exactly the biggest problem that they're facing today. Because not only are they being mobilized to fight against their own people on either side of the border, but there's a systemic racism in the Russian government that puts them in extreme danger. According to some human rights activists, most of the Russian army recruits come from peripheral regions of the country where unemployment, drug addiction, criminality are rampant, and therefore being recruited to the army becomes their only possibility to survive. Because of this, 11% of the indigenous population have been recruited versus only 1% of the general population in Russia.
Wow.
And with their population already dwindling among these people groups, this has a huge impact on their survival. It's also been officially reported that a large number of the Russian soldiers that are killed in Ukraine are from indigenous people groups. An indigenous male is 100 times more likely to die in the conflict than those from the general Russian population. That is a terrible statistic.
Yeah, I can't find the words to express what I'm thinking about, just this systemic, as you said, systemic racism. What do we do? How do we pray for this group? What do we do to reach out to them with some hope?
Yeah. As their traditional fish and reindeer-based culture is disappearing, the Orochi and Arik people, they might need help adjusting to this sort of urban Ukrainian future that they're going to have and everything that goes along with that. So I think we need to pray that these people will put their identity in Christ rather than in their ethnicity. And we just pray that God will give them the hope and joy that they might never have experienced. Also, they're led by their elders. So if we could pray that their elders have a spiritual hunger, and that will lead them to open the door to the gospel for their people. And we got to ask God to send faithful workers out that are focused on reaching this group.
You know, earlier this year, when we would talk to our friends at the Slavic Gospel Association and their work in the Ukraine and in Russia, they talked a lot about people coming to faith because it's a hopeless situation. Mm-hmm. And these people, even more so than the general population, it's a hopeless situation. So what do? God is the source of hope. He is the source of peace. He promises us peace in the midst of our terrible circumstances. And so let's pray now for the Orek and the Orochi people. Heavenly Father, we just pray for the Orek and the Orochi, these tiny little people groups. The racism against them, Lord, has been just criminal and so destructive. They're about to lose their identity and their culture. And Lord, as Faya said, we want to pray that they would, just like any of us, would find our identity in you, in a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, which gives hope in the midst of the most terrible circumstances, which gives peace that passes understanding. Lord, we just pray again for someone to come and show them love, to not exploit them, but to support them and encourage them. Lord, that you would bring us as ministry leaders and some of our missionary partners to specifically seek these people out, to encourage them in their wonderful culture, but adopting you as Savior and Lord and coming to you in faith. And so, Lord, we just pray for hope, for peace, for these people in Jesus' name.
Amen. As Tim said, check out joshuaproject.net and you can find out more about these people and many other unreached people groups. There you can also sign up and receive an email every day. And they have an app that you can download to your phone.
Thank you so much, Faye.
Thank you. You may be listening to us on your computer, but you can also find us on your smartphone using Spotify, iTunes, or other streaming platforms. Just go to galcom.org and choose your favorite. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast.
Well, friend, I believe very strongly in radio, obviously working here at Galcom, but the other thing that I believe very strongly in is kids' ministry. Statistics and studies have shown that if someone accepts Jesus Christ as Savior by the age of 14, they are more likely to live out their faith throughout their life than someone maybe later on. And a child is more likely to come to faith. You set your worldview, your view of life at a very young age. And so it's vital, vital that the gospel is given to children. And to that point, one of our great partnerships here at Galcom has been with Marion Jean Grant and her work getting the gospel to kids. MJ, great to have you back on the program.
Great to be here again, Tim, and to share with you what God has been doing.
Now, we've left you alone this year. You've been having some health issues. We've been praying for you a lot, and it's great to see you kind of back on your feet and still doing ministry. But for those that don't know about CBS for Kids, tell us, what are you doing to get the gospel into kids' hands and hearts?
CBS stands for Chronological Bible Storying. And some of us children's leaders put together under Kurt Jarvis a book with 30 Bible stories from the Old Testament and 30 from the New. And the whole idea is to chronologically how things happened with God and sending the Lord Jesus. And all these different Bible stories, they're not all of them from the Bible, but key ones that children can understand and know that God loved them and that he sent the Lord Jesus, and understand what salvation is. So they've got 30 Bible stories in the Old, 30 in the New Testament, and we want them to not only read them, but then go out and tell somebody that story. And that's the whole idea of doing chronological Bible story. They listen, and then they go tell somebody else.
I remember you telling me a story, a previous conversation we had, about what, like a 4 or 5-year-old being able to recite back dozens of these stories to family and friends or in front of a group of kids after just hearing them at like a VBS program.
Yes, actually, it was at a missions program and none of the other kids wanted to get up and do it. And this 4-year-old, he got up and he told the story. He left out a couple of points, but it wasn't major. And it was terrific. what he told. And that's what encouraged me to keep on going and to tell the kids, even when they're younger, and listening to the younger kids after they've listened, and then they go tell somebody else. And some kids won't even, you know, they have to go to, if they have to have a sleep in the afternoon, they want to have the audio player at their ear to listen to the story. And they can tell somebody the story. But mommy, I've got to listen to this story first.
And that's where our partnership comes in. So you've got a kind of a printed material. You've got these icons, these graphics where the kids can get prompted to note, remember the stories. But then for issues of literacy and issues of just kind of expanding the training, getting more people equipped, the audio players. So most recently, we were getting players over to Eastern Europe, Ukraine, Russia. Tell us about the impact there. Tell us about your partners and how they're distributing the stories and what difference it's making.
Well, somebody gave me the name of Oksana in Ukraine, and she had a team that translated all the chronological Bible stories. And within a few hours of receiving the books, they started to be distributed to the churches. And then the interesting part is there are thousands of kids who are displaced or orphans because of the war in 2014 and now. And to give out these books, the chronological Bible story books, and the players especially, some kids had never heard about Jesus before. It was the first time, and it was so new to them. And it's going to places where I could never go and where missionaries could not go. And that's the unique part about the players.
In your most recent newsletter, which really prompted me to give you a shout and say, hey, we got to share this story. These aren't just getting to kids.
No, some of the adults are taken and they say, well, we want one too. So when they go out, the adults are lining up. And one gentleman who had a hip replacement and then couldn't walk anymore, he was living way up in the hills. And when Oksana and her husband arrived, they were giving it out to the children. He wanted one and he listened. And it has changed. It's beginning to change his life because he's hearing about the Lord Jesus. He's hearing about God. And this is very new to him. And it's giving him comfort and it's giving him encouragement.
It's true. Sometimes kids can't understand adult stories, but adults certainly can understand kids' stories. So why not someone who doesn't know Jesus, doesn't have biblical literacy? Get them stories in kids' format. They'll engage with it.
I know. And there are leaders within the orphanages who are not involved in church. They're reading the stories to the children. So they, in turn, are hearing about God and about his son, Jesus Christ. And that's important. And the true meaning of Christmas.
What a great time. Yeah, what a great time to be sharing the story. What's Christmas all about? Well, let me tell you, it's not about presents. It's not about Santa Claus. Let me tell you the real story. You've been doing this, though, not just in Ukrainian and Russian. How many languages has the CBS program been translated into now?
We've done it in Spanish, and that was done in Mexico. And just recently, we sent some players to Mexico with a team going from here in Canada. And one of the children's leaders taught young people how to use the players, take them out, and use them in evangelism. So that was done in Spanish. We used the players also in Cuba. And also I heard that some was being used in Spain itself. The stories have been translated into French, into Chinese, into Zulu, into Swahili. Right now it is in Pakistan being edited in Urdu, and hopefully should be out by Christmas. It has been translated into Dari Persian and into Pashto, and we are hoping to get that. We're giving it out here in Canada, but also to give it out in Afghanistan as well.
Wow, I didn't know you had gotten that many done. So the partners you're working with, you named some pretty hot spots, Pakistan, Afghanistan. You know, you talk about Persians, so that's what, Iran and so on. This can't be easy work. Like, how are the players getting in? Do you know?
Being carried in by different people. And you're just very careful to send them. I sent some to be carried in by other people. It's a player. It's in their own language. And they can listen to the Bible story. And you don't have to put names and things like that on it. It's just like carrying your phone. And in fact, not only on the players, but we also put it on YouTube in Ukraine. But the players are more effective.
Yeah, so people do have access to the internet. If you're just curious to see what this is all about, you can go on YouTube and type in CBS for Kids, and you will see children's Bible stories and get an idea, obviously in English for us, but what the accessibility is then for others. Now, what's next? My goodness, Pakistan, Afghanistan. Is there you're going to North Korea next? I mean, like, are you just trying to raise the level of difficulty?
I just asked that question in my prayer group the other day. I don't know what the next country will be, but I need to finish up this Urdu one because it's just being edited. And then I want to get that out because there are a lot of Urdu speaking children, and there's a lot that could be used in Pakistan as well. And in other countries where they speak Urdu, you'd be surprised where you find people.
And you spent time though, as a missionary in Pakistan.
I was there for 21 years at a hospital, and I did the children's ministry and bookkeeping.
I love that even though you're not there in Pakistan, you're in Karenport, Saskatchewan, you are still serving internationally. You know, we talk a lot here on the Mission Compass. Everybody's qualified. Everybody can serve somehow, some way. Thank you for doing this, pushing this program, doing the writing, encouraging translators, and funding the printing so the gospel continues to go around the world. I think in your newsletter too, I noticed you need to raise some funds for printing these Urdu Bible stories for kids.
Yes, it's going to cost us at least $4,000 just to get some of this printing done. And then to pray for the team who will take it to different areas. And I don't know all the areas. I know some of them. And then to pray for these teams. But the funds are needed for traveling and for printing.
Friends, this isn't much, $4,000 in the grand scheme of things. I think if a whole pile of us got together and just, you know, chipped in $5, $10, we can get there pretty quick. So if you want to help get chronological Bible stories for kids in Urdu, into Pakistan, people that desperately need to know the love and hope of Jesus Christ, especially this Christmas season, what a great opportunity. You want to go to actioninternational.org, and that's both in Canada and the U.S., actioninternational.org/grant. If you just type in /grant, G-R-A-N-T, you'll see MJ, you'll see the story there. You'll be able to click really super easy. actioninternational.org/grant. You go right to her page. It tells all about the program, about the ministry, and the opportunity to give. And now this means hundreds, thousands more will get access to hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Anything more that we can be praying for you about, MJ, or anything else that's going on that we should be helping with?
We need to get the funds for Afghanistan first.
Okay.
And then for Pakistan, or it can stay together. And just get these out, and also to get more players in English. But I'm also thinking that down after they have taken the books out for the printing, that we need to think about how could we do players in the Dari language and also in Pashto. So I'm still thinking and praying about that, because that is a challenge to get the right people, and there are right people around that we can work with to do that. So God leads in very unique ways, and all of a sudden opens a door, and I can walk through and organize this and get it out. And I just find it very exciting. I believe in children's ministry, and I believe that children can know about God, know that God loves them and sent Jesus to save them from their sin, and what Christmas means. And I think with children being affected all over the world in so many different ways, we need to be thinking more about the kids.
Amen. Friends, to experience it yourself, go to YouTube, type in CBS, the number 4, Kids, to see what it's all about. And then head over to actioninternational.org/grant to get on board and to help get the gospel out. MJ, always great to chat with you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tim. And I appreciate you and your team down at Galcom, and I keep telling them about Galcom and say, boy, you need to go down there and have a look at what they're doing.
We are honored to be partnering with you with our little part, getting these audio players for your team, spreading the gospel out around the world. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim.
Well, friend, we're at the end of our program today. You've been listening to Galcom's Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission. There are many ways to partner with us. To find out more, visit our website at galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass. a radio ministry of Galcom International.
If you enjoyed this podcast, we upload a new episode every Monday. You can also find us on the radio or other streaming platforms. We have a list on our website. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and share our podcast. Please rate this episode and leave a review. We would love to hear back from you. And we also want to know where you're listening from. So click Mission Compass on our website, tell us, and we'll send you Galcom's devotional, 30 Days of Faith.